Uncle Chad is going to go over to building number two. If you want to go to Heritage Heroes, you got to go to building number two. If you go to building number one up in the chapel, you're just going to get in trouble because you're going to tear the place up. So building number two, follow Uncle Chad to Heritage Heroes. Hit them up, move them out. Amen. Don't want to miss tonight. I'm going over. We have this thing every Saturday. Brother Rick sends me a bulletin, and so I proof it and make sure everything's okay on it. And he said he was preaching tonight. And I said, do you know something I don't know? And then with that stupid deal, I missed that plane. I thought, maybe he does know a few things. Amen. I don't know. Amen. Take your Bible tonight, Psalm 106. Let's stand to read the Word of God tonight, giving him the honor of it. Psalm 106. If you want to entitle this psalm, the song of the Hebrews, it would be called the National Confession. The National Confession. The writer of the psalm, it really kind of, I might want to say, he was pretty satiristic when he wrote some of this thing, because you could just see him, he just pounded them, you know, and getting it to them so they understand it. Take your Bible. Y'all have a Bible here, amen. This is a Baptist church, Baptist Cherry Bible. So this, if you don't have one, there should be a Bible. Hold a Bible up. Somebody's got to hold a Bible. I see some people don't have a Bible. There's a brother right here. Good to have you tonight, amen. Would you give him a Bible? Open it up for him, Psalm 106. All right. Amen. We're going to start at the natural blindness in the places of bondage. Natural blindness. Boy, a lot of us have blindness. You ever blindsided? You know, you get into something and say, wish I wouldn't have got into that, amen? And we're blinded. That's, of course, every morning. Lord, pray God give me wisdom to react and act as a Christian. And Lord, help me not get blindsided, amen? Psalm 106, beginning at verse 7. Our fathers understand not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Now I know that there's some people that try to tell you that children of Israel didn't go through the Red Sea; they went through the Reed Sea. There's more than one place God said it was the Red Sea. Amen. I just thought I'd help you out there. Amen. The Reed Sea was only waist deep in water, you know, so they could make it across. And the wind blew it and kind of dried it out a little bit. No, they went right through the Red Sea. Amen. Nevertheless, he saved them for his namesake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also. Oh, there it is again. And it was dried up. So he led them through the depths, not ankle deep, as though the wilderness, as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hands of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies up in a half inch of water. And the water covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Not one. They believed his words. They sang his praises. Verse 13. They soon forgot. That's why it's so important for you every morning getting your Bible. Every night getting your Bible. Every morning praying. And during the day praying. At night pray. You'll forget God real quick. Yes, you will. You're made out of the same stuff they are. Amen. Dirt. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tempted God in the desert. They gave them, and he gave them their request. Boy, don't miss this. But sent leanness into their soul. God will give you the desire of your heart, and he'll give you a request. If you just keep at him, keep at him. I've seen a lot of girls, you know, they want to marry, and they'll take any tomcat that comes around, amen, instead of waiting for God. Oh, God, I got to get married. Oh, God, I must be at least 18 yet, and I'm not married yet. Oh, come on. It's better to want something not have than have something you can't get rid of. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Some things you want so bad are not good for you. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered up the company of Abram. Now, of course, talking about Korah there. And a fire was kindled in their company, and the flame burnt up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshiped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. Every time I read that, my devotion this morning, I laugh. How about that? But sin. Hey, we're like an old ox. No, we're not. We're fashioned in God's image and in his likeness, not an old cow. But some people act like that. Verse 21. They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Don't tell me prayer doesn't work. Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. By the way, tent was their dwelling, their home, their house. You murmur in your tent, your dwelling, God is very upset with you. You whine and complain, talk about people, talk about things that are not right to talk about. God does not like that. Well, you know, down at the church house, Very careful. You better be careful. If I was you, I'd circle 25. But murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed also among the nations, and to be scattered them in the lands. To join themselves also unto Baal Peor, and ate the sacrifice of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague brake in upon them. Then stood up Phinehas, and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed. And that he counted unto him for righteousness, that it was counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sake. Did you know that you can make your preacher sin? Did you know you can drive him to the point that he walks away from God? And you will stand before a holy God because of that. I've got a little bit more to say than just right now. Because they provoked his spirit. Better be careful how you ruin your preacher's spirit. You understand your preacher's got you to look after as a shepherd? You understand that he has just not only you, but a whole flock of people to try to help him? Try to get them together. Try to get them to go down the same road and the same path and eat the right food and drink the right drink and walk close to God. You understand that? It's just not you. It's a whole group of people that your pastor's responsible. Well, I'll get to that. Scat, cat. Okay. Listen now. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them. go back to verse 33. Because they provoked his spirit so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. Boy, I'd sure hate to have me do something for a man of God like that. Verse 35, with the male among the heathens learned their works, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils. They said they'd heat up this huge idol, and it had like a mouth in it, and they'd open up and they'd throw their babies into this white hot idol called Moloch, and the babies jump around like frying bacon, and they thought that was worshiping God. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils. They shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed on the idols of Canaan. The land was polluted with blood. Thus they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. God abhorred his own inheritance. I've seen some families like that. Old granddad's old preacher. Grandma was a godly old lady. Man, they served God all their life. And all of a sudden their children turn out to be ignorant idol worshipers, and to despise that they had children in the first place. Boy, I wouldn't want my mom and daddy to feel about that about me, amen? I don't want my mom and daddy to say, thank God my son's serving the Lord. God Almighty said that. He abhorred it. He abhorred his inheritance. He gave them into the hand of the heathen, and they that hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their afflictions when he heard their cry, and he remembered for them his covenant, and repented according to the multitude of his mercy. He made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captive. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us among the heathen to give thanks unto thy holy name and triumph in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And to let all the people say,
amen.
Praise ye the Lord. It's a pretty tough psalm. And I want to talk to you about it today. Father, Lord, would you please send the Holy Spirit. You said where two or three are gathered, you'd be here. We ask you tonight, you'd speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You can see Israel, how they're doing. You can also see America doing what they're doing. You can see the world. You can see America, who God has just amazingly blessed. But they have gone so far and just keep walking away from the principles of God. And for most of us that sit in this auditorium tonight, we kind of go like, what was that? We kind of go like, are you out of your mind? Are you kidding? And we have politicians saying things, and you're looking and say, and you and I know they're lying. And you're saying, are you kidding me? And you know, we kind of watch our United States like we watched the Giants and the Vikings the other day. Like, what's going on here? But anyway. You just kind of like, this can't be. But it is, folks. And history continues to relive itself. We didn't get the answers. We didn't get the wisdom. We didn't get the counsel of our forefathers. Now we're going down right the same trail. Is America what it was 5 years ago? I was standing, shaking hands. I'm getting to know some of the folks down in Mount Sinai Baptist Church in Pickens, South Carolina, getting to know some of them dear folk. And one old guy came up and he said, "Hey, preacher," he said, "do you think your daddy'd ever, do you think your granddad would believe what's going on today?" I said, "Sir, my daddy won't even believe this. In fact, I don't even believe this. I've never seen things change so fast. I see New Jersey turn. Now you can be a man and man, or a woman and woman, and become, I don't want to say married, because they're not married. And Romans says it's very inconvenient, and it's an abomination to God." But they've opened up the floodgates, and I heard, I think it's the governor, he said, "Well, it's just one of those things that's happening, so we might as well just let it happen." No, you don't have to keep letting it happen. That's like in my house. If my kids weren't behaving themselves, it ain't going to keep on happening. It's not going to keep on happening. No, it's not. I'm going to piss and fuss, and I'm going to win. I used to tell my boys, I said, "We're going to have a fight, and I'm going to win, so you better just stop right now." My little grandboys the other day was doing something, and I said, "Ha! All that." I said, "Don't lose control." I said, "I said it makes me so mad when kids fight. I didn't have a brother, and I just yearned to have a brother." I said, "What you guys fussing about over some stupid old thing that wore out in a couple of days or lost?" So we're seeing some things in this that I don't like to see in this world, and I hope you don't like to see them either. It is our responsibility to pray that God has His perfect will. You know, I know, we read the end of the story. We know that these things have to come for the Lord God to come back. We know that. Amen? And I'm not being a, what do they call it, some guy just pessimist, but I'm just telling you the truth. That's the way it is. And the train's coming in the station pretty quick here. Amen? Boat's going to come into the harbor, and it won't be long. But while we're here, bless God, I don't want things at my house or my home or my church to go down. You don't want things going down in your house or your church to go down. This is whose church? Say it. My church. Who is it? It's your church. That's right. We don't want these things to go down. We want to stand sentinel. We said, we're not going to have that kind of music in our church. We're not going to have that. We're not going to have sandals and shorts and a t-shirt to preach from here at this pulpit. I don't. When I come to church, is I want to show my respect to God. This is God's house. I understand. I believe. I understand ecclesia, and you can't. I've been studying that longer than you even. Sucking on a popsicle. But I understand that I want to show respect. And that's why I dress up. People say, "Why do you dress up? This is my uniform when I fly. This is what I wear." I see guys get on, I seen girls with pajamas on this morning. I'm out in public. You say, "Why?" Because I represent the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm one of His soldiers. Then I want to look good. I want to look like I'm somebody. I know I'm nobody, but I want you to know that I'm serving somebody, and His name is God Almighty. And I want to look right. Don't you tell me that when you dress like this, you act different, and people act different to you. So in our daily life and things, we ought to be careful how we are deportment, how we dress. Amen. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing if tomorrow the Air Force says, "No standards, no uniform, just come to work"? Some of you say, "Hey, yeah." You're out of your mind. Well, I want to show you some natural blindness. He takes the people back to their first exile, the land of Egypt. Number one, they were ungrateful grumblers. Ungrateful grumblers. They were grumbling, complaining, right? I don't know about you, but I don't like that. I don't like people being around people that grumble all the time.
Well, we could have done that. Can't we do that? Well, we've done that before. Shut up. Enjoy the ride. You don't know what's going on next. It's always nice to have something to look forward to.
I could have grumbled at the airport.
Deep inside of me, there's something wrong when this old boy misses a flight. There's something about it. I want to be on time or 10 minutes early. I get to the airport usually 2 hours before it goes. You said, and I have some people that tell me, "Oh, Pastor, I don't want to have that feeling inside of me that running down the hallway and hope I'm not going to miss that plane. I don't want that. I like to, when I go in and sit down, I like to watch people. That's more fun than barrel monkeys in here.
Got jammies on.
I bet she forgot to get dressed this morning. You know? Grumbling is a terrible, terrible thing. God hates grumbling. He despises grumbling. Because grumbling means that you're not, what? Huh? You're not content. You're not happy. You are prideful because you think you deserve better.
Put that one in your bank and deposit it.
Well, he didn't, she didn't, they didn't. Who do you think you are? Head potentate? You the queen? You the king? Our fathers understood not the wonders of Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercy, but provoked him at the Red Sea. I think all that God had done for them, he had trained Moses to be their ambassador in the courts of Pharaoh, and he sent him back to Egypt and armed him with unlimited power. He had laid proud Egypt in the dust. Never before in all long industrial history, reaching back to the dawn of recorded time, had this nation been so humiliated. God had marched his people out like a conquering army, laden with spoil. Do you understand that? Maybe some of you don't get this, but when they had served the Egyptians 490 years, and God turned the hearts of the Egyptians towards the Israelites, and they loved them so much, they just gave everything they had and gave it to them. I think that that was God's payment for their 490 years. They got gold and silver and precious stones, you name it, anything. All they could carry out. By the way, when a conquering army would come into your country, they would take everything you had.
Amen.
But at the Red Sea, now remember now, all this is going on. They got them out. Some people think about 3.5 million people coming out. At the Red Sea, at the first sign of danger, as soon as the people heard that Pharaoh had mobilized his army of chariots and they're thundering down the pathway towards them, they began to grumble. We remember their bitter sarcasm. But there were no graves in Egypt? Hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why don't you just leave us there? Sometimes people don't understand that some things take a little work and time. Relax. Quit your griping and complaining. Trust God. Just trust him in this thing. It's gonna be okay. You say, "Oh, Pastor, you just don't understand. The world is coming to an end." And I heard Ron Paul, and I heard Obama, and President Obama, and I heard Boehner, and I heard all these guys. Boy, that's a mess. I've been listening to the Gospel of Hannity every night. Every night I listen to him. And I listen to Mr. No Spin. If I can get a laugh out of you, you know what I'm talking about. just coming, tumbling down. Let me tell you something. God's still on the throne.
Amen.
Jesus is still alive. He is still the great and wonderful risen Savior. And the Holy Spirit still lives within us. And He will not let anything happen to us if we cannot withstand or provide a way of escape. That's what He told us. Quit your grumbling. You know, I was down there and talking to a group of people, and everything turned to the economy. Hey, Christians, why don't we turn to Jesus in our talk? I don't ever sat down, and here you guys start talking about the economy. And I'm going like, I don't want to hear about that. I think you ought to be versed. I'm not stupid about it, but I know one thing. The president is not the white horse. He's riding the white horse and going to conquer the world. Never has. As good as your favorite president was, whether it be Reagan or Bush or Jimmy Carter or whoever, or Bill Clinton, they never saved our country.
Amen.
It's God who is on our side. Blessed is the nation whose God is their Lord.
Amen.
And I just want to comfort you Christians and say, hey, you know what? Quit your grumbling. When somebody starts talking about it, I say, yeah, you know what? God has it all planned, and I'm trusting the Lord Jesus Christ in this. And if something happens, I know God's going to take care of me. How about you? How are you doing? Oh, I'm scared to death. Why should you be scared to death? Is God in control? Because we remember their bitter sarcasm, because there was no graves in Egypt. That's why you bring us down to the wilderness to die. Egypt was a land of graves, stupid. National Geographic, what you always watch on TV, what are they always showing? Pyramids, the crypts, all the other junk of dead people mummified. It was the place of burial. You want to be buried? There are plenty of places in Egypt to be buried. Guiding them and stocking them with treasures against the day of death was a major Egyptian occupation. You understand that? They put treasures in their cemetery plot, so they had something for the second world. Amen. Egypt was nothing but a vast graveyard, from the pyramid to the lowest cave. It was a land of graves. No graves in Egypt, indeed. It was a sarcastic jibe, and the singer notes their ungrateful grumbling. Oh God, help me not to grumble. Thank God for that egg in the morning. Thank God for that little bit of mold on that bread. I can scrape it off and eat it. Amen. Thank God for the things that God has really given us. We have come to the point in our life that it has to be perfect temperature before we sit down. Everybody's got to have everything just the way they want it to be. Hey, have it your way. I think there's a commercial that used to say that. Amen. Look at this unstinted grace, verse 8 through 11. Nevertheless, He saved them. God overlooked their faults, overcame their fears, overthrew their foes, and He parted the Red Sea before them, then summoned back to sweep into oblivion the renowned chariots division of Egypt. That was unsustaining grace. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are destroyed thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And I'm surprised at what the Lord has done.
Amen.
Every one of you sitting in this auditorium, you have had a blessing this week. That thing yesterday on that plane, I became late and got there. I tell you what, the first thing that happened to me was I started grumbling.
And years ago, I remembered a story about a man that was a scuba diver, and he was on the island of Fuji and diving for like 3 weeks or 2 weeks. And when he got to the airport, the planes could not come in for the next 2 or 3 days because of some mechanical difficulty. And people were screaming and going crazy at these people. Do you think that that person sitting at that desk can help you? I don't want to fly a bad airplane. Sorry about that. I like wheels up, tail up, and wheels down. And they're screaming. And he looked at those people and he says, "That means I got 3 more days in paradise." He went out to locals, told the locals, he said, they got him to stay with them. He ate their food and went scuba diving, and he said, "I never caught so many lobsters in my life." And just on that for 3 days, he said, "I had a ball." He said, "Why grumble and complain?" And I thought, here's a man that's not even a Christian telling us Christians how we ought to be acting. He came back. People were there. They were sick. They were mad. They were going crazy. And he came with a better suntan he ever had, with all kinds of treasures from new friends that given him. Hey, you know what? You can stay at the airport and drive the plane. Or you can go and get in the car and go have another Chick-fil-A. And you can go pick up the grandkids at the school. And you've never seen grandkids' eyeballs get so big in your life. I said, "What are you doing back here?" I said, "Man, I'm going to your game tonight." Went to the football game. Had a great time. Hey. You can have your cake and eat it too. But if you grumble and complain and gripe, boy, I hope that's worth reading during when I'm preaching, amen. You go griping and complaining, and you mess yourself up. No wonder you got high blood pressures. No wonder you got schisms and don't know which way to turn. And so they did. What a pity they had to wait until danger was over before they could trust and triumph him. They could have been having a good time. They could have said, "Wow, look at those huge waves." I remember one time I preached a sermon about the dead, about the Red Sea. And I said, I could see those people going through and seeing the fish. And Chad says, "Boy, if I was there, I'd grab one of the fish right out of the water." They missed all that. They're whining and complaining, "Oh, we're going to die!" My old saying is, if you're not scared, you're not having fun. Amen. How often God must have grieved with us, too, for our persistent unbelief in the face of all that He has done for us. Just let a crisis or a difficulty arise, and back we go to our unbelief. It should be quiet in here. You ought to mark that down in the back of your Bible. I will not complain. I'm going to trust God in this thing. I've seen it. I've seen people get killed because they couldn't wait to get on an airplane. I've seen people get killed because they just had to get going. They didn't stay another couple minutes with their family. I've seen people that just go crazy, and all of a sudden, life is over. Just let a crisis or difficulty arise, and back to our belief. It is well enough for us to sing once the difficulty has passed, but we ought to be singing during the difficulty. Amen. Last Sunday, I preached a sermon on the emergencies. Remember that sermon? And the first thing I told you, what's the first thing you do in an emergency? You don't stop going to church. You just stay right at it. You stay in the church. You sing the songs with the brethren. And you get the hugs of your fellow Christians and their sympathy and their love for you and say, "Hey, it's going to be okay. Don't run. Don't hide yourself." Once the difficulties pass, but why are they cannot sing and praise God, looking for Him in the midst of difficulty, knowing that it is but another opportunity for us to see His works and see him do his work.
I don't know. I don't know. I see it all the time. And I see it all the time in my life. And I can't question it. But I see that God gives you some things that He'll never give anybody else. He gives you some things that nobody else can get during that hardship and that trial. And folks, is it really a hardship or trial? I thought this world is full of sorrow and trouble. Look at their negative behavior in the place of barrenness. Verse 13. Israel is now in the wilderness. The mind's eye of the singer, he can think of one occasion after another when the nation exhibited gross unbelief and ungratitude. I don't want to be ungrateful. I have a list in my prayer list that I have of people that help. I got gobs of people that help. You may not know you help, but you help. You know that I come to Heritage Baptist Church and I drop her off and I walk away and y'all take care of her. You have no idea what that does for me. And I thank you. I can't thank you enough. Sometimes you need a little bit of that's why some of you parents of children, sometimes it's just good daddy comes home and you run and stop off at that coffee shop or quietly go through the grocery store without having 800 munchkins peeling things off the shelves and throw it in your basket and tipping things over and going and screaming and hollering, "I got no money!" So that everybody hears it. Don't ever be ungrateful. Keep your heart. I got to keep my heart. I'm not only a husband of this dear wife, but I'm also a dad, and I'm also a granddad, but I'm also a pastor. And I cannot allow myself to get under. And it'll happen. And you parents know, it'll happen to you. You'll get under. You'll get to the point in your life, you don't know which way to turn. You can't let it happen. Because there's too many people depending on you. And the number one person depending on is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He wants us to show forth His love and His mercy during our times of critical incident. And people need to see us in that time. They say, "I don't know how He does it." Be honest with you, neither do they. They just get up. You know how hard it was? I took a half hour nap. You know how hard it was for me? I woke up, I didn't know where I was at. It was dark out. I mean, I've been partying for a whole week with them grandkids. I mean, partying. I mean, never getting to bed before 2 o'clock at night, in the night. Get done partying with the kids, and then I talk to the mommy and daddy. That's really important. It is important for us parents to be with our children and talk with them. And I said, I can sleep when I get to home. I haven't found what home I'm getting to yet. But I can sleep when I get to home. Quit your griping. Quit your being ungrateful. Don't do as the children of Israel did. Whine and complain. Well, I'm going to stop at the lustful desires. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed. Oh, man, we got business meeting just about 5 minutes. But stand anyway. You've been sitting long enough. I'm tired. I need to sit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'd speak to our hearts. Lord, we love You. And we thank You for all You've given to us. And You've given us more than we certainly deserve, and we are like the Israelites so many times you have. You just let it blow away, and you just kept going, serving, giving, blessing. Lord, you should have been cursing and making us be annihilated. Lord, every time we start to grumble and complain about what's going on or who's doing this or who's doing that, Lord, just help us stop. And may we praise your holy name. If there's anyone here today, not sure they're saved, I pray today that they trust you and say this prayer with me and say, Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart. Lord, I am grateful for what you've done. You're here tonight and say, Preacher, I prayed that prayer. Would you lift your hand? Let me thank God for you. Father, now speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.